pages we turn, and we're thankful for what we learn. We rightly divide this truth that we'll show, and we'll know which way to go.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Craig, and welcome to Study His Word. Thank you for being here this afternoon. I was scheduled to have a guest, but that has gotten changed. But that's okay, because we'll do something else. I've covered a couple Bible stories in the past. We talked about Noah's Ark, and we talked about Jonah and the whale, with the idea being let's go to the Bible and let's read these and get the full picture. What prompted this was a conversation that I'd had with somebody, and they were pointing out that, you know, these were stories that they've heard since their childhood, but they never really heard the full story. And there's so much more to the story than what we heard as a child and what we kind of think of the story. So I wanted to bring another one to you today. And this is the story of Joseph. Joseph, as you remember, was given a multicolored coat from his father, because his father, Joseph was his favorite son. So he was given this coat of many colors. And as a matter of fact, they even made a Broadway type show back in the 70s, or maybe it was the early 80s, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. They had, you know, all kinds of music and told all crazy things about it. But anyway, but I got thinking about this, and what do we really know about that story of Joseph? What was the whole purpose of the story? Why is the story of Joseph and his multicolored coat, why do we even have that in the Bible? And what can we learn from it? So I thought today I would take you on a trip through Genesis, starting in chapter 37. Now there's a lot of material to cover here. So just sit back and relax and enjoy as we delve into the story of Joseph. And at the end, we'll see what we come up with as what can we learn from this? Why was this in the Bible? And things like that. Okay. Now, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And let me explain something right there. When it says his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan, that's because this wasn't the land that they were to dwell in. From Abraham, this wasn't the land. This was not going to be their land. So the land of Canaan, they were strangers to. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. So this right here is a problem. Jacob has all these sons, and Joseph is his favorite. This is the root of the problem. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. See, and this is the problem that was caused by Jacob favoring Joseph. There was jealousy. His brothers didn't like it. I'm sure if you were, you know, a child with many brothers and or sisters, and if you knew that one of your siblings was the favorite of your parent, and it would cause problems. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. So picture this. Your brother comes to you and says, "I had this dream, and you know, your sheaves bowed down to mine." Yeah, I imagine his brothers probably would hate him even more. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So, you know, he's creating all kinds of problems within his family, telling his brothers he's having these dreams, and he tells his dad, and his dad is questioning, "What, you're telling me that, you know, that your mother and I and all your brothers are going to have to bow down to you?" Joseph is developing a little bit of arrogance here, and so we see how the problem of the father favoring Joseph creates more problems. It creates arrogance in Joseph, and it creates jealousy in the brothers. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring word back to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. This is what his arrogance and his brothers' jealousy has driven them to. They're actually plotting to kill their brother. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, 'Some wild beast has devoured him.' We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So Reuben has kind of intervened and kind of stepped in and said, "Let's not kill him. We don't want to have blood on our hands. So let's just throw him into this pit, and then we'll see what happens from there." So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. So they've got this one brother that says, hey, it doesn't profit us any if we kill him, but let's sell him to these people, and therefore we can get rid of Joseph without having to lay a hand on him. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The lad is no more. Where shall I go?" So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept with him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. So the Midianites, this is the same as the Ishmaelites. I know it said earlier Ishmaelites. We could get into some geography and some people things there, but they have now taken him into Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard. So we're going to skip ahead here a little bit and pick up the story where it continues in chapter 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Now, understand, Joseph did have a little bit of a problem with being arrogant, which is what led to him being tossed down the pit and being sold into slavery in Egypt. But the Lord is going to deal with that. And part of the Lord dealing with that is he's allowing Joseph to experience both successes and failures. And so we're going to see that here. We're going to see a series of successes and a series of failures, because God ultimately has a plan for Joseph. And in order to get Joseph to that point where he can be in a position to carry that out, he's got to experience some success and some failure. So Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So Joseph is finding favor. He's demonstrating that he's a person that can be trusted and can do things. And so he's given more and more responsibilities. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So he's leaving Joseph to control everything. Joseph is doing a great job of handling Potiphar's affairs, and the Lord is blessing them. Then it also comes along that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, that would be Potiphar's wife, cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Come lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand." In other words, Joseph saying, look, your husband doesn't even know what all he has, but yet he is trusting me to take care of what all you have. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So here Joseph is recognizing the fact that he has been trusted with everything in that house, except, of course, his wife, and that for him to take advantage of that would be a violation of Potiphar's trust. But more importantly, he says, and sin against God, because it would be a sin against God. And that's kind of a key point for us today, in that every time we sin, yes, it may be against another person. If you know, we do something that harms that person, or we take something from somebody that doesn't belong to us, you know, we steal whatever. We are sinning against that person. But on a bigger scale, all of our sins are sins against God, because he is the one that has given us what is morally right in every situation. And when we violate that, it is a sin against God. So, and Joseph understood this when he was talking to Potiphar's wife. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work. So, did you catch that? She just didn't give up after trying once. She tried multiple times. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in his hand and fled and ran outside. So she waited for a perfect opportunity in her mind, and he fled and ran, but left his garment. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So basically, she's telling a lie. She's saying that Joseph came in and was trying to lie with her, when it was the other way around. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger aroused. And quite naturally, I mean, he's going to believe his wife. Even though she's flat out lying, he's going to believe her. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. So now we've got Joseph. First, he was betrayed by his brothers, thrown down a pit, sold into slavery. And, you know, he didn't do anything to deserve that, even though he was rather arrogant and was lording over his dreams. He was lording over his brothers. But in this situation, again, he hasn't done anything wrong here. And yet now he's sitting in jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So here we see the Lord coming through for Joseph. He says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So now Joseph is looking good in the eyes of the prison keeper. The keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So now this keeper of the prison has put Joseph in charge of the prisoners, and whatever Joseph did, it worked. It had the blessing of God. So the keeper of the prison didn't even look into things. He just let Joseph handle it. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. See how this story is getting really complicated? You thought it was a story about, hey, this dad really liked his one son, so he gave him this, you know, multicolored coat. Well, there's a lot more to this. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody of his lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said, because we're in prison. No. He said, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were the butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. That was Joseph making this request. He told him what his dream was, and so when you get out of here and you go back to Pharaoh, make mention of me so I can get out of here. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon, which was true. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dreams, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Oh, thanks, Joseph. How would you like to get that interpretation of a dream? Now, it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all of his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again. And he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know, that's an interesting point there, because both people experienced a dream, and then they had Joseph interpret it, and he interpreted it correctly. Now, the one guy was spared, the chief butler. You would think that he would remember Joseph to Pharaoh, and, you know, "Hey, there's this guy in prison, you know, and me and the guy that you hung, we had dreams, and he properly interpreted them." But he didn't. So now we're going to see some more time is going to pass. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So after the butler and the baker are let out of prison, and Joseph is not remembered for what he did, he spends 2 more years in prison. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So then Pharaoh awake. He slept again and dreamed a second time. And suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awake, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, "I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he had interpreted for us. So it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him." Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream and interpret it. So this goes back all the way to back when Joseph was living with his dad and his brothers and his mom. He was a dreamer then. He dreamed then, and he was able to interpret them. But you know, it's not just that. Hey, he could interpret dreams. This is obviously, these were dreams that God was sending to Joseph, and he was sending him the interpretation, because he did it when Joseph was a young man in order to set Joseph up for this series of events that would eventually lead to what it was that was Joseph's greater purpose. But he has to go through a training and a process. All right. Then Pharaoh sent and called. Okay, let's see. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And this is a key point also. Joseph recognized the fact that it was not he that was interpreting the dream. He would receive the interpretation from God himself. So that's the key point for Joseph there. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly, seven cows came up out of the river, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly there were seven heads of corn came up on one stalk, full and good. Then behold, seven heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." So, now this roller coaster that Joseph has been riding on, you know, good times, bad times, good times, bad times, he's just now entering a good time. And this is the beginning of Joseph, of us seeing what Joseph had been prepared for. So he's going to be over Pharaoh's house, and he's going to be ruled by the word that Joseph gives. The only exception would be to the throne, where Pharaoh will be greater than Joseph. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. That was a big deal. That was a really big deal. That was showing everybody that Joseph had the authority to rule as Pharaoh. In certain areas, of course, there were certain things he didn't turn over to Joseph, but basically giving him the signet or the ring was his sign that it's as good as coming from Pharaoh if it comes from Joseph. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. See, they had gold chains back then. He's given Joseph the power, and he's given him the bling. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh. And without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Basically, Pharaoh changed his name, gave an Egyptian name, and gave him a wife, the daughter of a priest. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, I want to stop right there because we started out and at the very beginning when Joseph got his multicolored coat, and then his brothers plotted against him. Joseph was 17. And now it's telling us that Joseph was 30. So this has been a 13-year journey of Joseph's, his up and down, his being in jail and then being free and then being in jail again. Yeah. So it's been 13 years. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came. And these were from Asenath, who he married, the daughter of the priest. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So here Joseph is recognizing the fact that God is blessing him, has made him fruitful, but it's not in his homeland. It's not where his family is. It's in the land where he has had his trials and tribulations. Then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Why? Because they were prepared for it, thanks to Joseph. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do." The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the lands. So we see that, you know, obviously Pharaoh heeded Joseph's advice. Joseph did what he did to the best of his ability, and the famine got so bad that other countries were coming into Egypt and buying from Joseph, because there in Egypt they were the only ones that had stuff. When Jacob saw that there was grain, now we're going back here. Jacob, this was Joseph's father. This is where his brothers are. When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die." So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "Lest some calamity befall him." And so Benjamin was the youngest of the brothers there. And, you know, Jacob is remembering what happened to Joseph. You know, he had sent Joseph out into the fields to meet his brothers, and that's where they had plotted against him. And so Jacob, not knowing the truth, but just, you know, feeling that a wild beast had got Joseph, that's why he kept Benjamin back to protect him. He was afraid of some calamity befalling him. And the sons of Israel, that was Jacob's name. His name was changed at some point to Israel. So you'll see that used interchangeably in this narrative. Sometimes it's Jacob, sometimes it's Israel. That's for another time why God changed Jacob's name. But just so that there's no confusion, this would be the father, this would be Jacob. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. So now, here's Joseph's brothers. They come in to buy some grain, and Joseph is in charge of everything, and so his brothers bow down before him. Sounds a little bit like that original dream that Joseph had, doesn't it? Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but see, his brothers do not recognize him. So Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan, to buy food." So Joseph recognized his brothers. Now he's sure that they are, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them. See, when I, you know, Joseph's remembering those dreams he had. So he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said to him, "No, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men." "We are honest men?" Yeah. "Your servants are not spies." But he said to them, Joseph, "No, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land." Well, I'm going to stop right there, and we'll pick this up next time, because this really is a good story, and we're only about two-thirds of the way through it, and we need to get to the end to finish it off, because that's where the main point is. But so now you're getting a bigger picture of the story of Joseph. So again, like I said, we'll pick it up next time. I want to thank you for joining me today, listening, and I'll be back next Friday at same time, obviously, same station. See you then. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of the